Welcome to episode 5 of the NVXS podcast. I'm Jamie Tay and I'm with my partner in crime,
Mick Curran.
God, I sounded so enthusiastic during the introduction. Okay, so it's been a while since we've done a podcast.
6 months?
Yeah, 6 months. Not too long. You know, we were thinking about doing monthly ones, but we've been pretty busy lately.
Very busy.
So I guess the first thing to talk about today is the new website.
Yes, so we've spent quite a good while on completely revamping and renewing the NV Access website for a couple of reasons. One very important reason is, I guess, to make it a little more nicer for donors and corporates and other people like that, especially for sighted folk. Because although I guess, you know, the website we had was certainly functional, the visual design of it, according to some people, you know, wasn't completely up to scratch. So, we've you know, put in some resources to,
I think that's being very diplomatic.
Yeah, I think to fix it up. And, I think we're quite happy with what we have now. Go and check it out at www.nvaccess.org. But what we also have done, apart from it just looking nicer, is that we have tried to make that the central place where you get the official NVDA from NV Access. So NV Access has always obviously made builds of NVDA, the ones that most people will use. You can now very easily write from the front page. There's a big download button. You can press that and it takes you to the download page where you can download or choose to donate as well, of course. And it's probably good because we've sort of made, we used to have quite a few blogs and things like that as well. I mean, so most NVDA user type information is all now going to be on nvaccess.org, all easy to read. Now, I will point out, though, that we still do have a community website for NVDA, which is obviously the place where you go to for, you know, list of resources for, you know, email lists and things in your language or talking with other users. And, of course, development is information on development and all that is all handled from there. So if you go to community.nvda-project.org, you'll find all your community and development needs right there.
I guess the other thing to point out is that we also have a nice little video on the front page of nvaccess.org, which is also on YouTube. And that basically explains our story, what we do, why we do it, and why we think it's important. And you know, we'd hope that you would share that with people. It's designed to be of interest to both people that might be interested in actually using the program and their families and friends, but also to people that might be interested in donating. And those two groups aren't mutually exclusive. So, please share that around. And I guess the other thing, to put it in really simple terms, if you're a user and you're not really interested in reporting issues or development or anything like that, nvaccess.org. If you're interested in anything related to development, then you've got the community site, community.nvda-project.org.
And I'll mention this again at the end, but we're also on Facebook. You can just search for... Let me just unravel that. Yes, we are going to be doing a demo of something later, so not that. just mentioned that we are on Facebook. You can search for NV Access on Facebook. And, of course, we're on Twitter at NV Access.
As you just discovered.
Oh, and YouTube, as Jamie said. Yeah. And LinkedIn.
Right. Okay, so there being no more to talk about with regard to the new website, let's move on to NVDA 2013.1, which is the other piece of exciting news that we have.
Yes, so NVDA 2013.1 came out last Saturday, Australian time at least. It has tons of quite a few new features. We're going to cover maybe four or five. But I mean, look, you know, as usual, there's plenty of bug fixes and other changes and things, as you'd expect.
So I'll start down that list. First, there's the new laptop keyboard layout, which has been a very controversial decision. But essentially, the old laptop layout was trying to simulate a numeric keypad, but using the letter keys and the numbers on the normal keyboard, since laptops usually don't have a numpad. Now, that's all good and well, but it's kind of difficult to understand, and you have to think. I mean, if you can picture it in your head, it's okay, but you know, when you read the information, it's like JKL, UINO, and it doesn't make a huge amount of sense. And also, because there aren't enough modifiers, some of the keys, just there wasn't consistency in terms of how they worked. Mm-hmm. So some of them that you would expect to use control might use control and shift, or then something else.
Not to mention, I think even some of the letters, there was one or two letters that were inconsistent as well, I think. Mm.
It wasn't a very consistent layout. Mm. And also, just very confusing for a lot of people, you know, to grasp. So we decided to move to a layout which is... Oh, also, it didn't work for anyone using a non-QWERTY layout. Yes. So if you're using Dvorak or something else, it was completely difficult to understand. Mm. So we've moved to something now which is more based on the arrow keys. So you've got the... you basically hold down the NVDA key, which for a laptop user you'll normally set to caps lock, and you use the arrow keys. So, for example, left, right, up and down, move by character and line. And then you've got commands like object navigation is NVDA shift and up, down, left and right. So it's much easier to follow in terms of that. Now, obviously, it caused us to have to change a few key bindings that people are really used to. And we realize that it's a very difficult change, but we think that it's better in the long run. And certainly most people seem to be happier with it. I will point out that the reason we didn't decide to maintain both is essentially... It just makes documentation very difficult, and it makes maintenance very difficult. And it's very confusing for a new user trying to decide which one they actually want to use, especially when they're reading through the user guide. So we don't think that maintaining the old one makes a huge amount of sense. But we do understand that it's obviously difficult for people. I think I've covered everything on that. So the next thing is Microsoft PowerPoint support, Mr. Curran.
So I'll briefly talk about this now, and then I'm going to demo this a bit later after all the features, but of 2013.1. But in short, we have added support for Microsoft PowerPoint. It is now possible for you to both read and edit PowerPoint files in Office 2003, 2007, and 2010. To be honest, I haven't tested Office 2013. As of yet, and I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't work.
I think it's fair to say that we don't recommend using Office 2013.
Not really for anything yet, because it's just there's a lot of changes in that version. It's very new for everybody, and I just should briefly say that, and this the support for PowerPoint was made possible thanks to quite a few. Some funding from various blindness organisations all around the world who came together at the World Blind Union General Assembly last November in Thailand, and they all wanted to see PowerPoint support in NVDA, so they've funded that work, and we were very pleased to add that support for them.
There's information about that event on our website as well.
Yes, that's very correct, and it lists all the agencies who donated.
So the next thing, and this affects some people, support for long descriptions in web browsers. So basically there are some times where there's an image, and obviously we know about describing an image using a piece of text, but sometimes sometimes an image is too complex to be described in a simple line or two. Or few words. And so a long description allows you to have another page for that image. So, for example, if it's a graph, it might open up a document which explains it in table form. So we really should turn off these sound effects before we start these podcasts. It keeps people amused. Mm-hmm. So basically, when you encounter an image or something else with a long description, you'll hear, does it say? I can't even remember what it says. So it has long
has
description.
Long description, yeah.
And you press...
NVDA D.
NVDA plus D to open the long description. You can tell we use this feature a lot ourselves. But it is very important in certain contexts, and it certainly is a feature that, that several people...
Well, look, it's a standard that's out there. It's certainly even nowadays in HTML5, I believe. I think that's correct.
There was a lot of debate about that.
So, you know, it's there, and if people see those images, well, yes, you can read them if they exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the next thing is input of computer braille from a braille display. If you are lucky enough to own a braille display that has a braille keyboard, you can now enter computer braille from that braille keyboard. So, and that's very useful for people that prefer to type in braille rather than typing on a QWERTY keyboard or whatever, desktop keyboard or laptop keyboard. Now, at this stage, it only does support computer braille. So, computer braille, or what's sometimes known as grade zero. There's a bit of controversy about whether you're supposed to call it that, but whatever. We do hope to support uncontracted and contracted braille in the future, but at this stage, that's not possible. Hasn't been implemented, and it's much trickier to implement. So we are looking into that for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to cover a few more things. In Microsoft Word, we have support for automatically switching languages. So if the document says that a particular part of the text is Chinese, it'll switch to Chinese and then back to English for English portions and so on. Support for Braille Note and older Papenmeier, I don't know how to pronounce that. This happened last podcast.
Yeah.
Displays, older ones, including displays with serial ports, and that's actually something I should mention really quickly, is that we have decided to implemented support for serial braille displays, because braille displays are very expensive things, and some people do own some very old displays. So we do, it is now a policy to try to support those where we can. Just trying to figure out where I'm going here. So there have also been some significant eSpeak language updates. Now, I'm actually not sure what most of those are myself, but I do know that a lot of work went into the eSpeak release that's just been incorporated into NVDA. Mm. It took a while to get it right, but it's people seem to be very happy with it now.
So I think that contains certainly the many, many, many fixes for certain languages, but also the introduction of a few languages, including Malaysian.
Yep, Malay's been included. Uh-huh. Don't really know what else. I know that there is some new stuff in there.
Yeah.
There have been several fixes related to Adobe Flash in both Firefox and Internet Explorer 10 in Windows 8. Now, to cut a long story short, essentially it wasn't possible to access Flash in newer versions of Flash in those two cases, and that has now been fixed.
Good.
So I believe we are moving on to the PowerPoint demo.
Oh, right. This is the bit where I get to lie down, right?
Because so, we still don't have a mic stand. And so Mika's found this apparently wonderful way to... He's going to plug the... This is a very professional podcast. And I'm not even going to bother editing this, so...
Now... I just got to find...
I want to slow that down a bit.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. Some people that can't understand eSpeak it. 400 and something words a minute.
Sure is. Oops. Rate 50. Rate 45. That's fine.
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to find...
Are you working on GDI hooks again?
I thought there was another one. Oh, never mind. So I'm going to open. Waiting for PowerPoint. /Microsoft PowerPoint. Side one left. Paren what you? Okay, so I'll explain all this. So I've just opened a set of slides in PowerPoint that I created at some point for something that I had to do. You can do quite a few things. So the first thing that people would probably want to do when they open slides in PowerPoint is to just read them as a slideshow. Either they're just reading them for their own benefit, or maybe they're actually showing a slideshow to people. So they would press the PowerPoint command F5.
PowerPoint slideshow dash left bracket /DAB2013CS.PPTX/right bracket/slideshow-side1left. What you see is not always what you get. What you see is not always what you get. Open in doors to information, knowledge and power.
Okay, so it It told me that I was in the slideshow, and it read the content of the first slide. Obviously, then I can press space or page down to move to the next slide. Oops.
Slideshow dash slide to left paren. Software is not a picture. Right paren. Software is not a picture. Bullet on tick. Hard dash code appearance. Bullet will look wrong when porting. Left paren. Wrong size comma. No native look and feel. Right paren. Bullet. Some people can tick. See it. Left paren. Bad colors comma. Too small comma. Blind. Right paren.
So it's just reading the points in that slide. Now I can use the arrow keys to move up and down this slide if I wanted to read, you know, particular parts of this particular slide. Of course,
bullet will look, bullet not page.
I can just move with the arrow keys like that. So as I said, you just press space or page down to move through the slides. What you also can do, and I don't think I actually have any notes in this particular slideshow, so it won't show that, but if you press Control Shift S, you can then switch. It tells NVDA to just show the speaker's notes. So if you're actually presenting a slideshow to people, you can be reading the notes while they're seeing the slides. Control Shift S again will toggle from the notes back to the normal content. So if I exit the slideshow by pressing Escape.
TAB 2013 CS not PPTX dash Microsoft PowerPoint. Slide now, to left paren. Software is not a picture. Right paren dash slide view.
So we're just in the sort of presentation view, I guess, or the editing. I'm not sure really what you call it.
It's called a slide view.
Slide view, yeah. I guess that's what it said, didn't it? you can move around these slides in order to edit them. Now, all these commands that I'm explaining here aren't NVDA specific. This is true for anyone in PowerPoint if they want to use the keyboard. But what obviously we had to do was make sure that NVDA spoke the appropriate information and got what it needed from the application. So the first thing I can do is I can use my up and down arrows to move between all the slides in the slideshow.
Slide 3 left paren software for all right paren dash slide view. Slide 4 left paren advantages right
pressing
paren
down
slide
arrow.
Slide 5 left paren Michael colon right paren dash slide view. Slide 6 left paren I'm blind but colon right paren dash slide view.
Now, if I want to actually look at what's in this particular slide for editing purposes, I can use the tab key to move between the objects in the slide. So if I press tab.
Title placeholder shape I'm blind but colon.
So I know there's a title there and it speaks that out.
Object placeholder shape blindness does not stop me using computers, web browsing, comma, emailing, comma, word processing, dash, it's all possible, dot, running a non-profit software company for the last...
There's a sort of an object there which sort of contains the main content. I don't think there's anything
title placeholder shape, I'm blind, but colon.
On that slide, but I might... I was pressing tab to use to move through the objects. If I want to edit one of these objects, so say
object
I want
place,
to
title place.
Edit... the object with most of the content in it. I'll tap to that. I can press Enter or F2.
Edit. Selected blindness does not stop me.
And now I can use my arrows or I can type in here and it's sort of just like a normal edit field.
The last 6 years. The last. Bullet all possible. Bullet web browse. Bullet blindness does not stop.
And you can also hear that it is reading the bullet points.
So.
And that will work for numbers as well. If I press NVDA F, I can also get the formatting as well for this current text.
Calibri 32.0 black.
Okay.
That's big text.
Yes. Oh. Yes, it is big text.
32 point... Wow.
Okay, so if I... to get out of the editing, I just need to press Escape.
Object.
Just a general rule with PowerPoint, even though you press Escape, it does remember what you actually did, so don't think that
Escape is more closed than cancel.
Exactly, yeah. And I'll press Escape again to get out of all the objects in this slide.
Slide 6 left paren, I'm blind, but colon right paren dash slide view.
I'm just wondering if I have anything
slide
else
left paren,
interesting.
Slide 5 left paren, Michael Curran.
Michael Curran, this one I think may have a picture, I'm not sure. Tabbing here.
Center title placeholder shape, Michael Curran.
Center title.
Subtitle placeholder shape,
subtitle.
Center title placeholder.
No, never mind. But, it does tell you things like, you know, when you've inserted an image and things like that. And so...
I assume you can give them alternate text.
Yes,
stuff
you
too.
Can. So what you do is when you insert your image, so that's just in the, well, in older versions of Office, it's just you find it in the menus, I think it's insert an image or something, and that's similar for the ribbon.
Newer versions, you wade through the ribbon.
Yeah, but I think it's insert and then image. Once you've inserted the image, on the slide,
one tweet not.
Then you can go to properties with the context menu when you're on the image, and then there is a tab for that. I think it's called descriptive text or something like that. And then there's alt text in there. And you can fill in all those title and description and alt text and all that. And it's obviously very useful to do so, because even in the slideshow, when you're running the slideshow, NVDA will pick up the alt text, of course, and tell you that there's a picture there. That's most of the features of PowerPoint. We can edit the speaker notes. I'm not sure if this is the case with all versions of Office. I think it is. If we press F6.
Even in 2003.
Okay, so if I press F6...
You might have to make it show, though, if it's hidden. I can't remember.
Right. So I'm just pressing F6, going through. Okay, I'm in the notes. And again, this is just an edit field thing. I can type whatever I like in here, and that will be saved for the notes for that particular slide. And obviously, when I'm running the slideshow, as I said, Control-Shift-S can show those speaker notes for that particular slide. We do support some of the other views. So there's a thumbnails view, which is just for sort of sorting your slides. It's another slide sorter. There is an outline view. We don't support it very well at the moment. We have to rely on display text and things like that. It's not that useful. We would like to support it more, but we are having a bit of trouble there.
I guess we haven't seen that much use for it.
Exactly. I mean, well, it's nice if you want to look at the sort of the slideshow as a one editable document, but you can certainly do everything just by tabbing through the slides and editing the individual objects anyway. So we still have that to do. We'll obviously keep working on this as well, but that's what we pretty much have so far with PowerPoint.
It'd be great to hear your feedback too, people.
Of course.
If you encounter issues or problems, or even if it works well for you, please give us feedback as well. It's always good to know that it is working for people.
Yes.
Is that all for PowerPoint demo?
I think so, yes.
Cool as that is. Cool. I'm now going to have to...
Yoink.
So we won't hear about your tweets anymore. Demo PowerPoint. Yep, we've done that. Oh, I should really quickly mention that we've moved to a new server in the last few weeks, and as a result, our mailing lists, some mail servers, including pretty much all of the big ones, Gmail and Yahoo, have decided that we are a spammer, even though we're actually not. And I think it's hard to tell. There's not much information about this sort of thing, but we think it's because we've got a new address now, and so servers have basically said, "Ooh, you're sending out a massive spike from an address that's never sent mail before," and so they've just gone, "Must be spam." So it's very frustrating. But what we're doing is we've decided that it's just easier. We could try to fix this, but at the end of the day, we may as well move to another service that just hosts lists, and then we don't have to worry about it, and it'll just work. And so we're moving. We also took the opportunity as well to move NVDA support to the NVDA free lists list, because essentially they were both serving the same purpose. I think NVDA support was created to be more, kind of a bit more restrictive and the like, but and to really keep traffic down to a minimum. But the reality is that moderation wasn't working out the way we'd planned on that list. And so essentially they were both just the same thing except a split community. So we've merged those two, and I'm now in the process of moving the development and commits lists to SourceForge.
So just if you are on NVDA support, be aware that you would have received a few emails telling you that you had been transferred over to nvda@freelists.org. If for some reason you are not comfortable being on the nvda@freelists.org list, or of course there is the other possibility that you may have actually set your settings to no mail or something like that, that obviously wouldn't have been moved across. If you do want to subscribe or change any of your options, please go to www.freelists.org, log in with your email address, and then find the NVDA list. It's just called NVDA, and you can unsubscribe and all that kind of stuff from there.
Excellent. I don't think there's much else to talk about, apart from the fact that we really do appreciate your donations, and it's really important to keep NVDA developed. I think that anyone listening to this would definitely agree that NVDA is a very important thing, and it needs to continue happening. And every little bit, small or large, helps to keep that happening. Of course, you can donate at our website, www.nvaccess.org.
Yeah, I may as well just say this because it's actually quite interesting that we've mentioned some usage statistics in the past.
Oh, yes.
And the number had been slowly creeping up, but now I'm happy to say that, and again, these statistics are only what we see, NVDA being used literally every day, so you obviously have to have internet access and all that. But it has surpassed 10,000 on average now.
Wow.
So over the last 7 days, I think it's been about 10,400 or something people turning on NVDA every day or having it on NVDA every day. that's quite exciting. I mean, obviously we have, many more. Our download counts are, what is it, 60,000
It's more than
so.
60,000.
But these are just people who actually depend on NVDA absolutely every day. And so it's, pretty nice to know that we're helping those people.
Final point, just a shout out to our major sponsor at the moment, who is Adobe Systems. They are funding us again this year to do what we do. And thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
And I think that's pretty much it from us.
I think that's all. Yes.
All right. Until next time.
So it's www.nvaccess.org, and we said before for community stuff, community.nvda-project.org. We're on Facebook as search for NVAccess, and at NVAccess, as we heard, on Twitter.
All right, goodbye.
Thank you.